So today we were kind of deviating from our course. Of studies of models, and wanted to see what this Vak, which they are talking about, which Agastya Rishi is talking about, which they are seeking as their common possession, is about. And more I think about this, most probably there will be a solution for models somewhere there, in the realms where they are coming from, why they are both vital and mental. And they seem to be vital in their nature, but they are very mental in their approach. They're seeking the truth in a mental way, though they with force, with vital force. And here somewhere there will be an answer in another paradigm.
Also you can explain about the sacrifice when you do.
What it means now?
Nobody is now rising fire and then doing the traditional ritualistic way of what Sharanuga is saying that. What that sacrifice? How do you do that?
It's a bit a different story, no?
But if we see once the holistic picture, we will see that what you say. It won't be different. But if we don't see the holistic picture, it will be different topic. So we will have to separate them and discuss them separately, and we will not have an excess. Because speech and sacrifice, it seems that that is where we match. So, four levels of speech in Tantra. I made this long, and this was a topic of several sessions, but today I will make it brief, presuming that we know many things. At least certain things we know. We know how Tantric Shaivism is, or Shaivic Tantrism is viewing this. We know that there are four levels, starting with Paravak, Pashyanti Vak, Madhyama Vak, and Vaikhari Vak. To come to this level of description, we have to go through other literature. We started with Vedas, then we came to Nirukta, then we came to Mahabhashya of Patanjali and his discussion. Then Bhartrihari and his theory of Sphota with his Shabda Brahman, from where you see he has seen the Shabda Brahman as Paravak, and then his first definitions of Sphota. And then finally we come to Tantra, where everything becomes more and more clear. So it is in this view that I was writing it, that Kashmirian Shaiva tradition is utilizing the Sphota theory and trying to recapture the awareness of the Vedic word. Now, according to, we already touched upon this a little bit, that Paravak, according to Abhinavagupta, is a transcendental speech. And he describes it as a transcendental word beyond creation, which is the very essence of the supreme reality, the essence of the supreme reality, ever present and pervading all.
It's a God's word, right? You need to
Yes, why we say the word and not anything else. Because it's ever active and eternally present, as he defines it, state of chit, of consciousness. So the consciousness which is aware of being within the being is telling to the being that the being is. The being knows itself by that vibrant state of consciousness. And that vibrant state of consciousness, when it is not yet kinetic or bursting out into the creation, specified within, and we will see how he defines. It's quite interesting. He says, satata udita, ever active, eternally present state. It is thus identical with pure consciousness, chit. Identical with pure consciousness, chit.
I think this depends from where you start. No? You start with language, then you enter the parapara. You start with the atman, the paramatman. Because whatever entry point you find,
you
find the same absolute, which in the end is all the same thing.
Good, good way of saying it, yes.
Because they vary into the image.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's the same.
Yes, which is the same ultimate reality. Chit is an ultimate reality, or ultimate awareness of that ultimate reality. It is conceived of as a luminous vibration, spurata. Now, here we have luminous vibration within consciousness, that which will be later identified, that action, that manifestation of being. So it is that spurata of pure consciousness itself, carrying within itself the whole cosmic manifestation, which is shining within it without any differentiation. He also said that Paravak is indeed present on all the levels of Pashyanti and others later, when it is bursting out. For without her, darkness and unconsciousness would prevail. So there is an active state of consciousness within manifestation which entered. Without which the manifestation would fall back into its own darkness.
In terms of the comprehension and apprehension, can it be called that there is comprehension and not apprehension?
Later. Yes, later. Oh, on the level later, yes. It will come to comprehension. There is no yet comprehension because it is still undifferentiated state within itself.
Why do you call it pure consciousness, not just word or mind?
No, this is what he says, no?
It's Paravak, yes. It's
so he's the only one word. When the consciousness wants to express itself, then it's as a potential, or it holds the potential of expression.
So what is the word? What in Sanskrit pertains to that consciousness? Why is it? But chit is not mentioned in this.
Mentioned about.
I do mention chit, but it is not in quotes.
This word
spurata,
that's
Sanskrit
word,
spurata,
that's the root of that?
Spur, to vibrate. Pure vibration, yes?
So it implies movement.
I will see the Sanskrit if you want, but I gave quotation, didn't put quotations.
Is it because the consciousness and being are not differentiated? It's identical, that's why it's
going to
be called pure consciousness.
No,
that's the Satyananda.
At least
linguistically, yes. But it's silent, so the Paravak means beyond the word. It's not considered.
No, perceptually, I understand that it is linguistically.
No, the one definition which has to be given, that Vak is not language. Language is absolutely a different thing altogether. It has something to do with mind, with structure, with creation. Vak is not language, it's an action of consciousness, it's logos, yes, that power of consciousness to manifest. And then it becomes later, it uses language to manifest itself in consciousness. But language is a product of this Vak. And not language does not determine Vak at all. But this Vak can create any language.
How is Pakin Chit? Is there any
That's what he tried to define as if one is a part of another and identical with it, but identical with it, but identical with it means already there is some other reality within jeet. That and he will define now. It's an interesting definition. We will see what he will say. First of all, I was going slowly. That everything here, yes, whatever exists, as it's a his quotation: stones, trees, birds, human beings, gods, demons, and so on, is but the venerable supreme word, present in and consisting of everything in the form of the Supreme Lord. Now, well, how far we really see that, we don't see it yet, but we will slowly go and we will see it. So this statement that consciousness is pervading all the levels of creation and is expressed by all of them is fundamental for Indian approach to language. And if this higher consciousness would not be present within the creation, all would fall back into inconscient. This view is clearly Vedic. The creation was conceived, according to the Veda, in two stages. Yes, we know that. We are not going into that. So André Padou comments on the nature of the Supreme Word in his book of Vach in this way. Thus we see the role played by the supreme level of the Word in this conception of the Supreme Consciousness. The latter is pure light, but in it the cosmos exists archetypically and undifferentiatedly prior to all manifestation. This results from its twin aspect of Prakasha and of Vimarsha, or Prati Avamarsha, yes, Vimarsha. That is, from its being both consciousness or light and word, or to say it differently, both pure, luminous Prakasha, changeless consciousness, and consciousness holding the paradigm of the cosmos in this word, which, as it were, whispers it to and within consciousness, and therefore makes it reflectively and introspectively aware consciousness, or brings about a representation, Prati Avamarsha, of the cosmos. It's basically chit tapas. Yes? There is chit, consciousness, perceiving being, holding awareness of the being, and there is tapas, the power of that consciousness, which will later burst into manifestation.
Is it at all related to that first element of the fifth element, five elements, which is sound or vibration?
Well, this is later, yes. This is Pancha Mahabhutani, which you have ether and so on, yes. It is that first element of Vak on the level of manifestation. But we are still beyond manifestation, trying to understand where that power came from. What is it? Whose it is? And how it relates to consciousness and being. So basically it is Sat Chit Tapas Ananda. Yes? So Chit Tapas has two aspects. One is aspect of awareness of the being, self-awareness of the being, and other is power which is ready to present to the being all the details of this being in its awareness.
It's something like imaging, no?
Yes.
Which is both passive and active.
Seeing, being can see itself in all the details, and that is that other part, Vimarsha.
Energy.
Yes, it is energy. It is Shakti, tapas.
Ready to set out or something.
Yes, ready to differentiate for the being to be aware of those differences within itself, or details, or qualities, or quantities, anything. What is really there to show to the being? Now, when chit is perceiving it, and by it, it knows itself as such, then tapas is doing something else, it presents it. And that presentational aspect, as he says, representation of the cosmos, is what that force is about, that logos in the Greek mythology, which creates the world. So Abhinava Gupta writes in his Tantra Loka, Pashyanti hi kriya, tasya bhavo purvaparo sthita. Of that paravak, the seeing is indeed the active part. The seeing, pashyanti vak. For she, paravak, has two parts. The first is inner part, and the next is the outer manifestation. So as chittapas has two parts, the same would be there in the vak. There will be one part which belongs to chit and another which will go into action. This should be seen. Thus the vimarsha power of paravak reveals itself from its origin in the form of pashyanti vak. So this vimarsha part of paravak becomes an active part of pashyanti on the next level of manifestation. It is conceived as the first movement of wanting to know. It is of non-dualistic nature, where the division on subject and object is not yet been made. There is no subject-object, there is no vachya-vachaka, no signifier yet in pashyanti. In this first moment of cognition, there is no separation yet. There is no distinction between the signified and signifier. That's what he says. Yatra vachya vachaka vishesha yoho abheda. No distinction. So the pashyanti vak can be described as a transition from the stage of total undifferentiation to the stage of differentiation. The supreme, non-supreme state of the word, parapara, which connects pure subjectivity with objectivity, ahanta with idanta, I-ness with thisness. These two coexist in her with predominance of the subjective aspect of I-ness, ahanta, which already on the madhyama level down, will change and both will be equalized, as it were. Now, this is a very crucial knowledge that ahanta dominates idanta in pashyanti. The subjective aspect of I-ness dominates the thisness. There is no yet objectivity free from I-ness. That's why it is intention, icha, the willpower. It doesn't care about thisness yet. It doesn't take it as equal. It dominates it fully. It creates it. It makes it. The signifier is dominating the signified, which is absolutely unimaginable for Western linguistics. If I would say this to linguists in the West, or anybody, they would be putting big question mark. What are you talking about? How signifier can dominate the signified?
It's very clear in Ramana Maharshi's way of describing that as well, being totally the I.
Yes. And that I-ness, yes, it's only Indian way of looking at it, can allow such subjectivity to dominate objectivity.
Egoless.
Yes. Yes. Even if it is not egoless.
What is it?
Yes, it is egoless, but even if it is not fully egoless, because yes, that's why it can include egoness also, because it is egoless. It can really see also other elements, how they really, even if, suppose I am not egoless in this perception, I have ego of this, and I can feel the truthfulness of it. Because this self aspect, yes, is important, is fundamental for any manifestation. Without it, there is no manifestation.
Self includes everything.
Yes, but self is also, self is including everything, but it is also everything else. The very concept of self creates possibility of manifestation of manyness. So it is including ego. This egolessness including ego. And it is not bothered by it. In Vedic view, in the Ramana Maharshi view, it will be really bothered. There will be some other consideration that it is an obstacle to come to that egoless perception. But in Vedic view, with the dynamic truth, it finds its place, small place, but it has its own. And it's not bothering that bigger perception.
Is the idea that you're perceiving, but you are one with what you see? Because how can you see something if it's not, have some form outside of you?
Yes, we can only imagine for now. But later, maybe it's the answer to that, that we will perceive that I-ness which is dominating this-ness. Let's proceed a little farther and then we can come back to that. Now, what is the cause of Pashyanti? How is it in motion, set into motion? The explanation given by Vinavagupta is quite interesting. Tatastu Pashyanti yad yad abhipsitam tata deva samuchita karana niyama prabodhitam bodha sutrana matrena vimarshati. Whatever is thus aspired or wished for is indeed awakened by the necessity of a certain action. And it is by only following that awareness that Pashyanti gets the perception of it and is set into motion. Look at this psychological definition. Abhinavagupta is very psychological. He can be, he is not a linguist, he is a psychologist. Whatever is thus aspired or wished for is indeed awakened by the necessity of certain action, and it is by only following that awareness that Pashyanti gets the perception of it and is set into motion. Abhinavagupta compares it to a psychological process of memorizing, smriti, by which certain events recall certain images which appear in the consciousness, as if they were caused by this will to know, or the will to remember, something which was as if forgotten.
Because the perception here also is a dynamic process, but it's not the perception of something that is already there and then perceived.
Yeah.
Because the perception is there, it is created.
Yes, but here, for example, comparing with smriti, it's something which had already taken place.
When you remember, you create it in your mind.
Yes.
It's a creative process, not a perceptive process, basically.
Yes, but what is happening here that, actually, as Sri Aurobindo says, what is manifestation? Manifestation is only remembering what is there, so to say, in the being. Because everything is already in sat. So it has to be kind of brought into light of consciousness in a particular way. It's a very close to unveiling or to unfolding, so rather than making. Yes, objectivizing the subjective being.
Even the imagination is as if something is there already.
Yes. You bring the light of consciousness into something. We can't imagine what is not there.
What is not there, exactly.
It's another difficulty.
Yes.
So we can combine, you know, some abracadabra is already consisting of abra and cadabra. Somewhere it is already there. And when I was a child, I was playing with this. I was trying, can I imagine something which does not exist? And then I imagined the horse, hoofs with the wings, but wings, hoofs, horse head, it exists. You can't make something which is not. And then I was surprised of this. It was a big surprise for me that I cannot make an image which is not. When I was a child, it was a game with my mind. When I was falling asleep, I was trying to make something which was not there, and it wasn't there. It was already there somewhere. I had to take a part of it, put with other part, and I made something new, but it wasn't new.
I did the same. I wanted to find a color that wasn't there.
Color, yes, or another thing. Yes.
Or a space that was not three-dimensional.
Yes.
A space that didn't have sides and tops.
So. You're dealing with...
It was very helpful.
With space also I played a lot. What was that fourth dimension? I always wanted to know.
Yes. Yeah. This one.
Yeah, it's like if somebody could travel in time instead of space, like the other way around. We always travel in space. You know, travel in time.
So this process of as if forgotten, here we can clearly see that the agent provoking the Paschendivaka is within man. It is his own aspiration towards knowing or perceiving, abhipsita, whatever is wanted or aspired for. So the power of will, Ichashakti, which is the very characteristic of the Paschendi, is carrying within herself the power of cognition, Jnana Shakti. It is his definition. The power of will is carrying jnana shakti, the power of cognition, and the power of action, kriya. So look at this, the power of action, kriya, is separated from the power of will, icha. Action is not purely will. It is carried by will, and cognition also is carried by will. So in this we will see the definition of these three, Paschyanti, Madhyama, and Vaikhari. There will be Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, and Kriya Shakti. Expression. The power of will Icha Shakti, which is the very characteristic of the Paschyanti, is carrying within herself the power of cognition, Jnana Shakti, and the power of action, Kriya. In fact, the will to be aware, bubhutsa, in its nature, is awareness itself. The will to be aware, bubhutsa, in its nature, is awareness itself, bodha svabhava, says Abhinava. This is also a very psychological definition.
Little before, that sentence that has awareness and perception.
Yeah.
In English, these are purely passive words. In Sanskrit, are
also.
They passive or they are as well dynamic?
They are all passive, it's literal translation.
It's literal, they are passive in origin.
Yes, whatever is to be known, abhipsita, whatever is aspired, yes?
That awareness that Pashanti takes, the perception of it. These two words, awareness and perception.
Prabodhitam, yes. It's passive voice. Samuchita, passive voice. Karana niyama prabodhitam bodha sutra namatrena vimarshati.
And that any set into motion arising between meditation isn't there in the Sanskrit?
No, it is not there.
So after, psychological, after being the will and to become, these two are sort of the same, identical at one point. Is that where we are right now? I mean, reading on this.
Yes, Ichashakti, the will which comes down, yes, the definition is very interesting. It's as if it wants to know, yes?
Wants to become, in other words. Because
first it wants to know and then to become. Let's see it in complexity. It needs a little more material and then we come. Maybe I will have to be faster and then come back. And that would be better. Otherwise, I have to anticipate, because your question will be answered, yes? The power of Vilichad, yes. And I wanted to stop on this, but it seems it's not catching your attention, then we go on. In fact, the will to be aware, Bhavotsa, in its nature, is awareness itself. The will to be aware is awareness itself. Make sense? Yeah, you see, not another, we have to, what would, what does it make sense?
That makes sense means from that point I actually asked the question that will and to become.
Because it is awareness of itself, that is why it is willing. Otherwise there is no will.
Yeah, good, very good. Bodha Svabhava. So the very Svabhava, nature of Bodha, of awareness, is Bhubhutsa, is desire to know. The nature of awareness is in the desire to be aware. In the desire to awaken, in the aspiration to awaken, is the nature of awakening. It is not somewhere else. It's not objectivity. It's not in the object that we want to know. It is the subject what we want to know. The object is only for us, you know, red cloth for the bull. Nothing else. To become aware, to become self-aware. But in our shift, since we already operate consciousness turned outside, we think that we want to know the object. It is interesting to mention here how the hierarchy of Paschentivaki is being defined. According to Abhinava Gupta, there is always a greater will, Mahapaschenti, and the smaller ones, Paschenti. And this we were mentioning once, yes? I go to the village, says Abhinava Gupta, and it is my main will, Mahapashyanti, but I am leaving my house, is a smaller Pashyanti. Now to go to the village I have to lock my house, to switch off light, to take bus ticket, to sit in the bus, and so on and so forth, till I go to the village. So all those smaller wills and actions by consciousness are leading me to the bigger will, bigger intention of to go to the village. Now to go to the village I also don't go for nothing. There is a bigger intention there because I want to meet my relatives. And I want to meet my relatives also for, is not for nothing. But there is a greater Mahapashyanti will and greater and greater. And he says, similarly, one should see the plane of Sadashiva as a great Mahapashyanti in comparison to which all other wills of individuals, being subjects of Tumaya, are smaller Pashyantis. Moreover, all the greater Mahapashyantis can finally be seen as those included into the supreme Para Mahapashyanti, which is Paravakusa.
Now, if I go to the village, that's which of the light. Well, it's okay, there is some connection, but not necessarily the Mahapashyanti will lead to the taste of switching off the light. Let's say. It won't.
It is not in your case, but in somebody's case, it may be.
If you fully understand, you would see how everything leads to that switching off.
Now, because I ask this because of the, in music when you work, then each small detail gives the taste of this Mahapashyanti. That's there. It is clearly stated. Otherwise, it doesn't work. No? So your psychological, the movement of your finger, let's say in the psychological format that it gets. It gets the stamp of that what you want finally to express at the highest level.
So it's turning your whole life into music. That's the basic idea. Exactly.
Yes, okay.
And then it is music.
Okay, I'll say this.
This is this dynamic truth. If we can really switch off light with that consciousness of Mahapashya.
And then the Rupaya asked can Superman, Metal Power, can switch off the light without touching it? Yes, that also can be. Yes, maybe.
Don't speak about this too loud because all this is so.
And then he didn't finish.
He, because yeah, he was treated as his son. Whatever he has, even the small things of the he made it happen. By sitting there, switching off the light and switching on the TV.
And somebody asked the mother the same question, and she said, Do you think that this higher consciousness is not practical? It's supremely practical. All smallest details. So what it can be, can you imagine such a vast consciousness which is supremely conscious of the smallest details? And knowing their place and knowing what they have to play? If we have that consciousness, we would be in.
The detail is surrender. Surrender also is in detail. In small, small things also you have to surrender.
I don't say aloud.
Yes, sir?
In the days when we have come, mother was like this. Every little thing happening in the whole ashram, every department, every person, she knew. At the same time, she was doing all that.
And for her it was very important, those details. And we, and I never could understand why. But now I more and more start to understand what it means. Because these details are not small. They are as big as the universe. It's a part of the big story. And it has to be placed right.
During Mahavashyam, the switching of the light in the house also is there. Mahavashyam.
And when he goes to the village, unfortunately, it's a, he says subject of Maya. We are separated. He thinks that he goes only to the village. But he doesn't see the bigger picture. But if he would see the bigger picture, he would do every detail. He would not rush to go to the village. Yeah? He would really slowly go to the village. Enjoying every step.
I mean, can be slow, can be fast, as it is.
As it should be, exactly. Exactly. I didn't mean to that he would slow down. He would be more aware with his perception, consciousness. So now we are moving to this Madhyama mark. Madhyama literally means mediating, which mediates between the undifferentiated and differentiated levels of the world. It is still a projection of Paravak together with Pashyanti, so to say, only on this level the language finally appears as the division of phonemes, words and sentences. Here we have language. It belongs to Madhyama. If on the level of Pashyanti it was still involved, enclosed, as it were, samvartita, then on the level of Madhyama it is unfolded into the mental distinct categories of language, grammar. It is on this level only that the distinction between vachya and vachaka, the signified and signifier, takes place. So we have suddenly subjective and objective reality. We have I and this. We have something to do, something opposes us, something complements us, and so on and so forth. Now when these two are combined as the substance of sound being a material of language and the expressive and creative element, vachaka, and the creation, that which is to be expressed by it, the vachya, they together represent the power of the goddess called Parapara, supreme, non-supreme, which is the essence of Madhyamavak. Interesting definition, Parapara. There is a total balance. These two elements have to be balanced. We can see it in syntax, in the language. And this is the funniest part, that you cannot say a sentence without making this balance between subject and predicate. You cannot have a sentence with only subject, for those who study linguistics will be very interesting, or only with predicate. You cannot say, I am a, and leave it. Doesn't make sense. Or you can say, he is.
But you can say, I am.
Yes. Now, what you do with I am, you make a predicate yourself. You turn on yourself. You say, I am I. So we, when you say, I am, full stop, then what you say that you are yourself. If I translate it in Madhyama terms, yes? Otherwise, you have to say what you are. If you say, I am a...
But what if you say, I walk or
I exist?
I walk means I am walking. I exist means I am existing. And not existing, and not sleeping, and not anything else, but existing. So this is the predicate. To be existing, to be walking, to be something else. First name has to be equalized to the secondary name, which is explanatory to this I-ness. This this-ness has to be equalized with the pure equation. Without this equation, there is no statement.
So that is from the language perspective, like from the you are talking as a linguistic.
Because not only linguistics here, because this is also a psychology of our consciousness, mind.
Yeah.
Mind works like this.
Okay. Because if that is the barrier, then we can never proceed.
It is the barrier of the mind. You take mathematics. Do you have mathematics without equal sign? You don't have any mathematics if equal sign is not there. A plus B equals C. This equals is M. A plus B is the main name, C is a secondary name.
Equals A.
Is A is not mathematics. It's not logic. There is no logic without equal sign. Now there are other signs like equal more or equal less, yes? But always equal. And so mind is comparing. Mind has to put major name into comparative state because I can be anything. It's what I was using this example in university. I am a teacher, I am a student, I am a father, I am a son, I am walking, I am playing. Now why I'm saying all these different examples? Because I can take anything and identify with I, and this is what it is, I-ness and this-ness. Now this I-ness can be shifted to any other subject. He, that, anything, that I-ness will be represented by that subject. But it needs what? What I? Yes? If I say I am a what? Without this answering to this question, there is no statement. And here I want to go deeper. If this is so, that every sentence is a statement, then what for it is made? You know why I is not enough? Because there is no yet statement made by I. We see you, but what you? I want to know what you in this moment of time, what you plan.
But this is only true when I am not the mind. Neither both nor the whole makes sense.
No, it's all right, it's a structure.
Purely on mental level.
Yes. Yes, it's all on mental level. Madhyama is purely mental. It's not yet on any physical. But what is interesting that when you say, I am air, and you don't say, and I want to know why I want to know what you are, because you will reveal to me something which I don't see, which is not here. You will make a statement of will. You will embody, you will bring into manifestation something which is not in my awareness. Yes, but that's okay. But these are passions. These are, well, it's not okay for that higher sense. But we're looking into the character of this particular level of consciousness, Madhyamavaka. So it operates by this equation of one main name, which we always recognize as a main name, subject, with another predicate, which we always recognize as a predicate. The predicate brings a new information on the main name which is known to us. We want to know main name better by the predicates. We want to know characteristics of the main name. We want to discover the self, the being, by all predications, by endless predications. That's what we want. That's how it works.
Cannot be
just simply for that level,
exactly, till you get enough of it, you go back.
I think it's not such a small thing.
Oh, it is a very big thing. Does it work like this, that these older writers, say the Vedas and Upanishads, and Schopenhauer also, they talk from the unity down, yeah? But the later people, like in Sankhya, or even Shankara, they start from that division.
Yes.
Shankara bases his whole theory on the idea that the observer and the observed cannot be the same. It is on that that he bases a quite strategy.
Cannot be the same.
Cannot be the same. That's the strength. He starts with the duality and then says, because that they can never be the same, because of that the self must be infinite and silent and the world is separate. Yes, yeah. Strange that he starts not in Advaita terms at all. He argues from Advaita.
Otherwise, how he could arrive at that Advaita? Yeah?
His Advaita is half of it.
Yeah.
Well, but this one is the science. All science looks like this. It looks at the duality and then goes and wants to go back to the first idea which was created in that stuff.
Shankara does it very systematically. Says something, then proves it is wrong, and silence is the only truth. That's his total style of argumentation.
No, the science is
not. Science is slightly different, because science is
actually it proves itself wrong. It's not proving these borders non-existent. It proves that the whole process was wrong, and now we found reality or something.
I don't think that they conclude. They don't make conclusions. But they try to, on behalf of that what exists, they try to find back the world which was creating that what was there. The formula. There are scientists that want to find a formula for the existence of the world. And they say, like this Hawking, he says it is there. And it is to be found. Where you can make this, this kind of equation, what you are saying. But you can make the equation for anything that exists in the world.
If we go farther, we will see why they cannot find it. Because there will be an answer here, exactly here. Why it cannot be found by equation. Equation is only a device. It's a device. Mind is a device. Device to manifest something of that intention. And that intention is the meaning. And not the structure. Structure reveals, we can cognize the intention through the structure. We cognize through this language the meaning. But meaning is not language. And meaning is not the expression. Meaning is within expression. And here there would be an answer.
Meaning is building the expression, something like
that. Right. Or...
But this is all true for the... overmind creation. If the supramental concept, this always works. But there's a change for the mental. When you say it cannot get to the truth because it is an expression, it's typically for the overmind, which creates a difference. But what if you create a truth?
Well, that we have to see what it is.
Because it might be different. Something might have changed.
After that, when we will establish it, I'm sure there will be some. As Shobindra says, shift from light to light, we move.
So we get to a different kind of world.
Yes,
but even this language, we achieve
it. We are still really doing that, what you say. We are building in ignorance with light, yeah?
And the light made by Shobindra says that finally the difficulties of the lower vital and physical could only be solved by changing something in the overmental reality. And maybe all this starts from Shobindra. Because people have thoughts that are in harmony with everything else, that are not any more exclusive like our present. That we put one thing, one self is not the same as the other self. But maybe we get to a another reality where oneself is the same as the other self, essentially. We get to where the consciousness, every distinction is not necessary.
Yes. If we would have this turning consciousness outside with that which is not turning, fixed together, one is turning, seeing the differences, another is seeing the essential unit, then that would be... But that is over-mental, what, as you described. It's not yet supramental. And the supramental would be something else. Well, so if you look into these two elements, are aiming at two different things. One is aiming at the objective content, Vedanta, thisness, and other is oriented towards subjective expression, Ahanta, I-ness. And thus they create the whole physical universe, Vishwa. So Vedanta, thisness, objective, and Ahanta, I-ness, subjective, by interacting, creating universe. The objective universe is born within and by the word. On the individual level, it is cognized as awareness in speech and language, as well as differentiation of shabda and artha, word and meaning. The place of madhyama, according to Abhinavagupta, is intellect, buddhi, where the element of impersonality still dominates the particularities of manifestation. It has a character of cognition, jnana shakti rupa. And it utilizes the parapara shakti, the shakti which unites the supreme with non-supreme, which dwells on the distinction of the subjective and objective content, on the infinite and the finite, on the
it's
transcendental.
Very interesting, this differentiation of sabda and artha, it answers some question that I had, that why music is more universal than language?
Well, I'm not sure about that. I cannot about language. It's, music is another form of language.
Yes, but still, the bipartition between sabda and artha are more.
Yeah. The objectivity is growing within the subject, as it were, and the subjectivity is still dominant. Now, when it comes to the level of Vaikari, the division on Vachi and Vachaka elements becomes fixed by the cognitive aspect of Madhyama. Equation is made, where they are still superimposed on each other, therefore in Madhyama, but not in Vaikari. Therefore children, says Abhinavagupta, can learn language connected with objective reality. And it's quite interesting that we, in our sessions on evolution, philosophy of evolution, we see that animal mind works in such a way that it always needs a reference point, objective reference points. Otherwise, it doesn't know what it is about. We, with our mentality, we don't need that objective reference point. We can make it subjective reference point. Artha and Vak, it's because of language. And we read last time, you remember what Shubhinda says, a word was found by this fumbling thought. And that word could help us to make subjective reference point. And according to that, we can speak and create context. The animals cannot create subjective reference point context. They need objective reality. They need hunger, they need food, they need immediate threat, and then they understand. But if you don't give them anything of that, for them would be difficult, not impossible, difficult to find that reference point. They will have to find it in your feeling, or in your mood, or in something like this, immediately available, but not presumed.
But they can dream of it.
They can dream because of that also, because there are activities of consciousness going on, immediate things are entering. Makes sense, no? We are having this reference point which is given to us subjectively by the word. It is by the word we are fixing it, and to the word we refer. And because of the word, we can really build up a subjective reference point.
Okay, is it go to the outside of the object? I mean, can it then mind make a reference without any object?
Without the word? No. mind cannot make a subjective reference point without a word.
I said objectivity in mind always has to stick to some objectivity, right? Totally without objectivity, can it make
so reference? Can we imagine what word does to the mind? Just imagine, just think about this simple thing. If we would not have, for example, such concepts, yes, as we have, fixed by the word, what mind could do? We don't know what is truth, what is God, divine, supermind, I have no idea at all. So what this mind can really do in communication with others, or we don't have, reference point means communication, that we understand each other. How would we really refer to each other? Through what means? Of course, through immediate means of life, context. Table is here, food is not here, I am hungry, and you are happy, and you are wet, and I am dry. So, this is what immediate reference, but what about not immediate reference?
Pictures,
okay, pictures, we. How would we know? Vibrations, what? Feelings. Okay. Vibrations which.
Without words, no? I mean.
How? How would you bring into action something without words?
You need reference, no?
You need a reference.
You respond to the vibration.
Respond, yes. To the vibration, yes. Then we are like animals. We respond to our vibrations all the time and move.
But drawings is a metaphor.
Okay, drawings. Drawings.
And you can make drawings of things for which you have no words.
Yeah.
When the drawing is perfectly enough to take the shape.
Okay.
You can make a drawing, give it to a carpenter, you can make it even if he doesn't know what it is called, you don't know how it is.
That's why animals do not make drawings. That's exactly the answer.
Rupa is there, always has a duality. It is not only Rama, it is Nama Rupa. It is both for the people. It cannot.
Yeah, but Rupa means something else than drawing. Yeah?
But Nama just means something else than drawing. So, both have their two qualities.
No, yes, but that's why. That's where they are. This is the sign. You see, Shabda is on one side, Artha is on another. On one side we have word, and on another Rupa, form and Rupa. So this reality, is one reality. It cannot be seen as different. There is no way that you can have reality excluding that action of Pashyanti, or that action of a vibration of consciousness. So Rupa would not come into existence if that vibration would not take place. It won't come into existence. This is the result. Because it's one consciousness power.
How does this relate now to what we are saying?
This is
like
story. This is the whole story of Prashanti Bhakti that creates the world.
Yeah, but then you have to go back these earlier layers, no? Else it is not true anymore.
Amatayas, yes, yeah. Just my mind is still with you, I'm sorry, I don't hear you.
Okay, that's
Because I'm kind of listening, but then my mind is drawn to that, and I pull it back and it doesn't want, it goes back to...
Take your time.
So, you can speak about drawing pictures only because you already built with the word everything. You can draw pictures because the word has already created pictures. And that's, we can really go to pictures without the word. We can do that.
Have pictures.
Now, let us think about it.
You can get trees, so many things created.
There is the word. This was the olden days. The communication started with the figures. They started drawing. That is through that only, you know, all the paintings, old, very old.
We don't know the figures.
No, the cave paintings and that way.
But we have no idea. We simply don't. But surely, the Greeks and Balkans, they were
more
physically aware, where it was like, in an abstract sense, we were.
I wish consciousness in this, and you've
no, this is the nature of consciousness.
The level of the mind.
Sorry, let's stop this. I think this is.
Now, if you look into this scheme, which I think explains nearly everything, in my view, you can see one is ahanta, subjective shabda approach, the vibration of consciousness, which brings the meaning into the context. Now, in this context, we all sit together, and we do not know what will happen next. Yes? So we are calling for this word to come, to emerge, or to descend, and to show us what is next. So we are calling for the unknown. We do not know what will happen 10 minutes afterwards, when I leave with the car. We do not know what will happen tomorrow, day after tomorrow. We are cut off from this vision. And the word, what the word does, because of that we need the word, it makes us a reference point. We remember that we have to come next week for certain reasons. How do we remember it? With the mind. Not by pictures. We cannot remember it by pictures. We need a word for it. Well, debatable, okay. But still, we divided by words the whole calendar, the time. We divided by word our behavior, our relations, our intentions, our feelings, our thoughts. Concepts. They are all dwelling within the word, and we can refer to it any time. We have a flexibility of consciousness, which can refer to things which are not immediately here. We can make them here. I can call for them here by the word. I cannot call for them with other means.
But I'm far happiest when my mind has no words.
That's a good state. I'm also very happy when it doesn't have words. But I'm also happy when the words come from somewhere which make you suddenly aware of things you were not aware of.
Correct.
So there are two sides of it, yes?
Suddenly things get connected because of that one word.
So on one side we see thisness of artha. Artha has meaning, and also it is vachya, is that which has to be expressed, it is that signified, that thing in itself, objects, which is created by power, by the aspect of power of consciousness, whereas ahanta, I-ness, is present by the subjective presence of consciousness as perceiving things as such.
In the very fact of the creation of word, which is communicable amongst people, that itself proves that there is something common here, which is understood.
Exactly. We have reference outside, objects, and we have reference inside, words. We have two references. We live in two realities at the same time. We see this thing, and we know that these are glasses. Now, we do two operations simultaneously. We see it. If I see what it is and do not know what it is by the word, I would not know what it is. Would I know that these are glasses without the word?
No, but...
No, it's an interesting...
If you can't use them,
but not likely you would know what to do with them.
Yes, what to do with that.
Oh, you see, the Russians, when they invaded Czechoslovakia, then they found objects that they were not, they used them completely wrong, you know?
No, but this is all...
We
have to make this whole circle, because what you say, get into contact with that deep inner being or whatever, what it tells you doesn't need word. As soon as you hear the word, there is again a kind of differentiation between you and that feeling, or that's what it is. So I think, because of the creation, etc., we do need the word for a very long time. But then also I think when we get a full circle, like Mother said, we need a completely different language, because this always takes us again away from our consciousness, because the word is on the mental level. So, as soon as we would become more in a divine creation, our mind gets a very different role, and language gets a very different.
Yeah, I understand. Then I'm kind of trying to experiment and go a little beyond the borders in order to find maybe something unexpected there. So you also forgive me if I am kind of insistent too much with my views, but I found them revealing for myself. For example, how would I know what it is without the word? By seeing.
Correct. We need to write about
it. What is this, or what is that, or what is anything without the word? This is, when I see it without the word, this is the form, which means that there is something transparent. I would not know that it is transparent because the word does not tell me that.
But the moment you put it on your nose, you know what it is, but you have the word for it.
Exactly. So if I put it on my nose, I see through, and I would see through anyhow. I don't need to know what it is. Yeah? I don't need to know that this is transparent.
You also don't need to know that it is called spectacles or whatever.
Yes. So I don't need to have spectacles here, because how would I need to have spectacles if...
You see more sharp.
Yes.
Just visually. It's not part of it.
Exactly. So the whole reference point of seeing...
That's not
it.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's very close to that, to understand what word does, because I want to bring what word does and seeing does not. And if we can see that the seeing will see the tree and see the tree what it is, but it doesn't know what tree is. Yeah? I would not know the tree is tree by seeing the tree. I would see the shape of some kind, yes? I would not know that I see the shape. And I would not know that I see. I would see
the
tree.
Is the eyes, the outer sense that sees the tree?
Yes.
Then there is something else which has to tell you what it is.
Right.
This is the other sense.
Reference point.
Which is the word.
Yes.
Which is memory. It translates to you in those words.
Oh, thank you for your...
This is green, this is this.
This reference point is the key to understand Madhyama. Because here, Iddhanta and Ahanta would be equalized. The subjective seeing will be having something to it as what it is. It has to know it back to itself because of this wonder of manifestation. It takes place in this way, so what can I say? But this structure, this picture, is crucial. You can see Paralak, where you can see that I am...
Could you guide us with the cursor? Help,
unfortunately, these stripes disappeared. There were many stripes on one side and on the other side. On Paravak level, here, you see Paravak? Artha and Shabda are one and the same. Meaning and the object. The meaning of this book and the book itself, which you see, which you can touch, which is solid, is one and the same on the level of Parama. The meaning, and the meaning of the word a book, is one and the same of these two. On the level of Pashyanti, when it flashes down, they are still the same, but there are already formations. The form image of the power and the form sound of the word within the language, there are two different systems interacting of the subjective and objective reality of I-ness and this-ness. They create dichotomy. They create within itself this matching dichotomy of image fitting with the space outside. That means this image, that it is flat, black, has pages inside, words written, everything, all these images are fitting with the same internal reality of the word, image, within the language, to read page by page, to understand topic after topic, in time and space. These two realities coexist within one consciousness. And on the level of, finally, Vaikari, we have two different objects. I can write to you objectively a book and show you a book as two different objectively existing realities. kind of childishly doing this, but I want you to see these stages of the meaning, how meaning deviates from the object, and then we say, aha, objective reality is there, then naming becomes a token for the object, and we do not see that the object itself was created by naming before. Before Carpenter made the table, he had to make a shape in his mind. He had to see that shape. He would not be able to make it. Before he would make that shape in his mind, he had to be have a notion of what he wants this table for. There had to be paśyanti, the intention to support things, to support food, to support books, to support something, and that was a table, to uplift it to the level of. The table was used for sacrificial offerings mainly. That was the level. Or chair, or anything else. Very similar as it is with men, it is similar with everything else. Somebody asked me, why mountain word? Was it really before the mountain was created? And this is about objective reality, or tree. Was the word tree, or was before the tree appeared? How would we know that tree is tree? How would we know that mountain is mountain, if mountainness was not there before? Before mountain appeared.
Not when they talk about the gunas, in one place, Shrodha says the present is decided by the past. The present is decided by the past and dominated by the past. What was the first action? What was dominated that one? Reference. What was the reference point? What was the reference? That question.
Yes. Today we were discussing the same as Nishtha, and it was interesting to see that suddenly you can have this shift, very slight shift towards this understanding that all the events, for example rain, we are speaking about rain, sun, clouds, earth, grass, flowers. What is all this? Is it really only... Why Vedic Rishis are using these images for their own sake of that spiritual reality? Did they use it only outwardly, or how did it appear to us? How our eye was built to see this light reflected in this particular way, this globe, this universe, running, clouds, water, fire. What is fire? Why fire is burning? Why fire is shining? What is all this? Where it comes from? Are there not deeper concepts already involved in all those manifestations before we formulate them as such? Or we find within that consciousness those formulations?
Also, one thing.
I'm just turning back on inception.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And the hierarchy of manifestation is also reality of the manifestation, and that can be organized by words. Like, for example, any big thing, and then constituents also you are putting words. But the big thing is already implicating that the constituents are there. That's it. Hierarchical reference.
When we speak about words, we are mistaken, we are misled by language. These are not language words. The intention of consciousness to manifest certain mountainness, cowness, humanness, mentality, vitality, physicality, is there.
Why do you call them words?
They found their shape in language. Because we need a reference point.
It comes much, much, much later.
Yeah, this is Madhyama.
At the moment it is like that. I think this is clearly the sign that we have to stop it.
Alright, so we will finish.
And this is proof that we might get to the light on and off.
Okay. Okay, so we will end with a minute of silence.